Let's just take a few breaths because we had some funny computer business entering the class today. So we just collect all the molecules. Take a few breaths. And before we begin with the invocation, can we do five Allah Hus, Allah raising the head and Hu, blowing into the embers of the heart, brightening our hearts more than they're already shining. So let's begin. Allah Hu. Allah Hu. Allah Hu. Allah Hu. Allah Hu. And palms pressed together. Towards the one, the perfection of love, harmony, and beauty, the only being united with all the illuminated souls who form the embodiment of the Master, the Spirit of Guidance. Blow the sacred words into the palm of your hand. There, see golden light. And imagine that as you raise your hands and pass them over your body, it is our Murshid, Hazrat and Icon, doing so and blessing us for this time together. Well, the title of the class is Aspects of Healing and Prayer. And I'd like to begin with a quote by Murshid that reads, "And as the doctor is able to cure physical illness, so the doctor of the soul is able to heal spiritually. Love itself is the healing power and the remedy of all pain." And as I was reviewing things this morning, things just sort of fly in. And so I've added to this class, and I do want to give you a little heads up. Could go a little, we started a little later and it could go just a bit longer. It'd be so great if you can stick with me. If you can't, you have other engagements, it's okay. We'll have things online, but yeah, it will be available to you otherwise. But this morning while I was, did you all read today's bowl of sake? Anyone? That Wahidadeen passes or circulates through email? Well, this morning I did, and the bowl of sake, again, by Hazrat and Icon, daily kind of aphorisms or teachings. Commentary, it says commentary by an icon, but it's really, in a way, kind of commentary by Wahidadeen, whose name is also Richard Schelquist. He draws upon all of Murshid's teachings and kind of tries to highlight in some way the brief quote that's always presented. But I found this teaching so relevant to our times now, and somehow esoterically related to today's class. And as Moinuddin said, it is spring. Excuse me, I'm going to adjust my chair. And we are at the beginning of new light coming into the world. And light is an interesting thing because it illuminates things. And people often think, oh, I'll be illuminated. But the truth is, and I remember having conversations with Murshid Avira about this. Illumination, with illumination, you see everything. It's not like all the, unicorns and rainbows and stars appear. It's like you also see the darkness. And so we must also realize that and trust this. So today's bowl of sake is all earthly knowledge is a cloud covering the sun. All earthly knowledge is as a cloud covering the sun. And what Wahidadeen extracted, and he extracted several things, but I'm going to read from the Sufi Message volume, The Unity of Religious Ideals, on the chapter The God Ideal. And listen to it, because is it ever more relevant today than it was in Murshid's day? And we kind of know that when he was offering these teachings, it was just prior and post-World War I. So think of that. And think of how the words are as relevant today. There are times when the sun covers the clouds, So there are times when the God ideal becomes covered by materialism. But if for a moment the cloud covers the sun, that does not mean that the sun is lost. And so the God ideal may seem to have disappeared in the reign of materialism, yet God is there just the same. We find that during the past few years, all over the world, we have come to a phase when the God ideal has seemed entirely forgotten. It does not mean that the churches have disappeared. It does not mean that God does not exist, but that the light that was once there has been covered and has ceased to illuminate us. And so, let's just think of ourselves. We're these lighthouses that have gathered from different parts of the world, all over the United States, Europe, Africa. And I'm going to turn this sound down for some reason. It got itself turned up. Excuse me. And we want to connect. It's like creating this web of light for illumination and uplifting. And originally, I had selected this teaching from the Franciscans. It's a story about a saint, and it's Blessed Mary Angela, for Mary Angela here today. I don't know if you knew about her, or maybe your parents did when they named you Mary Angela or Marie Angela. But Blessed Mary Angela was born in 1825 in central Poland. And like Saint Francis of Assisi, although they never really met, she experienced a conversion while convalescing from tuberculosis. She had contracted this as a young girl. And it was a forced period of convalescence that gave her ample time for reflection. She felt called to serve God by working with the poor, including street children and the elderly homeless in Warsaw's slums. But her story demonstrates how God can use sickness, and sickness can be the physical body, as it was with Blessed Mary Angela, but it could also be a kind of sickness that might exist in our world today and maybe will always exist. But we can show how God can use sickness as well as other situations to speak to the heart of the individual. And so I think it's a really good time, as the light's growing in our season, let that light grow in our hearts and listen. Listen and see. And this doesn't imply that God causes illness, just that God uses the opportunity to speak to our hearts. And again, what's really being said? What is that which is appearing, or what exists, behind the curtain of what we see happening today? So, in times, these times, perhaps we find ourselves, I know I do, I was awake a lot last night, and I woke up very early, earlier than I usually do. We maybe think of our own infirmities as we age, or we're thinking of the world at this time that may have a kind of sickness that's, of course, based, I see, at least maybe it's not your judgment, and maybe it's my shortcoming that I see things moving in a direction that are sowing chaos and dread. But do you ever wake up contemplating these things in the middle of the night and contemplating the world and contemplating economics? I have friends down here that are working for the government, and it's a scary time for them. And aren't you glad, Moinadine, that you're retired? Yeah, me too. So, but here's some advice. I love my Saint Teresa's of Avila, my Saint Teresa of the Little Flower, and Saint Mother Teresa of Calcutta. And I subscribe to messages from her that come in my messenger actually. So it these kind of refreshing little moments. And this morning, this is what she said about those moments. She said, if you can't sleep at night, take it as a sign to pray and talk to God. So we're getting a lot of opportunities to pray and talk to God, I think. And instead of being frustrated or fidgety about lack of rest, talk to God and pray. Nye Khan would say that, and Richard Samuel Lewis used to emphasize that an hour of contemplation and meditation and prayer is as good as a whole night's sleep. It refreshes us in some way. So if you trust their words, take it as advice. Well, what's been the inspiration for this class today? For some reason, I cannot tell you why, maybe it's to be revealed, but it has been very nurturing for me over the last few years to focus on a particular prayer. It happens to be the third prayer in the healing service of Hazarat and Icon, the healing ceremony. And I'm going to talk about this prayer in detail. I guess it's kind of deconstructive, and then we'll reconstruct. But I'd like to reflect on each line of the prayer, sort of thinking about its infusion and its essence, and how it embodies, each line embodies a wazifa or a set of wazifas. And we're going to sort of translate the prayer in that way. So, students in our circle, at the end of the study guide online, you'll see in the last page recommended pairs of wazifas to do until we meet again, and also certain lines of the prayer to draw together and to say those. So, there's a recommended guide there for you. So, first, the purpose of prayer and wazifa. And this was written by Pir Vilayat, and it's an excerpt from a text called Confraternity. And you know that an icon, as well as many other traditions from the Middle Ages and maybe even farther back, have had a confraternity of prayers. So people could gather together and pray together, and so do we. And an icon created this in the 1920s. And you see, many have seen that picture of them. What do you call it? The cornerstone of the Universal Temple at Fazl Manzil. And Pir Vilayet has his hand on, Hazrat Anikon, excuse me, has his hand on Pir Vilayet's head as if he's being bestowed with something. And there are many interpretations of it, but people that were there, believe it or not, have told me that that was when Anikon gave Pir Vilayet, you would say, the duty of holding as a container the confraternity. So that's from people that witnessed it, that's that moment. Well, for those of us on the Sufi path, and these now I'm going to Anayat Khan's words. For those on the Sufi path, it provides a method by which sincere and devoted members of the universal worship may unite in a daily form of prayer for spreading the message. But the confraternity is also when you take up the responsibility to say the prayers daily, you become a member of the confraternity. Pir Vilayet says, listen to this, the effect of a sentence is first felt by the person by repeating the sentence. So the idea that we repeat these throughout our lives has a great power. He goes on to say, every time it is said, a groove gets deeper into one's awareness, more or less the same the way a piece of music imprints itself on the mind through repetition. However, mantra, he's used mantra, Murshid would probably use wazifa, can have even more meaning than music. The vibrations are infused with centuries of traditions. Just have to tune to that wavelength. He says, it was passed down by generations of spiritual masters since the dawn of history. It is used as a key similar to Aladdin's lamp. So our breath is polishing Aladdin's lamp. Genie arises. To invoke help from angelic beings who have been at the disposal of pure spiritual masters since the beginning of time. The ethereal being of a person who speaks the sacred words is actually imbued with the vibrations of the words, and the atmosphere around them is charged. So even if we're alone and we're doing these practices, imagine that our etheric being, or feel it, you can feel it. I'm getting goosebumps now just thinking of it. The etheric being becomes imbued with these vibrations and the atmosphere is charged. And so you can also see the benefit of sort of keeping, that way of the pilgrim where he says, pray unceasingly, even if you're not saying it aloud, bringing these practices into consciousness or a line from a prayer or a wazifa that you're given and sort of offering it to the atmosphere in which you are at any moment. Could be grocery store, traffic, walking down the street. We have this capability. Well, Hazrat Inayat Khan expresses the same teaching in this way. The body does not only want food, but it also wants breath. Again, Aladdin's lamp. In other words, vibration. And the vibration is given by the repetition of sacred words. The sounds, the vowels, the composition of sacred words are chemical. And it is this process which is called by the ancient philosophers as alchemy. There are centers in the body, and these centers are the akashas, or domes, meaning heavens. I mean, to think of our centers, our various centers, our chakras as these heavens, these domes. It's also the Akasha in a bigger sense as well, but not separate from us. Where every sound has an echo in these Akashas. And the echo once produced in this Akasha, which exists within and without. Therefore, he also says, the repetition of a sacred word has not only to do with oneself and one's life, but it spreads and rises higher than you can imagine and wider than you can perceive. Verily, every action sets in movement every atom of the universe. And that's from Sufi Message Volume 1. The soul wince and wither. On jinn, the plane of jinn and chakras, that's the subject. So now I'd like to share with you the three prayers within the hurt healing service before we look more deeply into that third prayer of the service. And as we say these, and I'll draw your attention to them or as I say them, if you know them, you can say them yourself as well. But they're kind of an essence also within each prayer that we can join together. So the first prayer of the healing service goes like this. O thou who art all peace and whose nature is mercy and compassion, send thy love and thy peace on the whole of humanity, and we pray. Unite us all in thy perfect harmony. So this first prayer is this prayer of love and this prayer of mercy and compassion. And this prayer of its main message is unity, that we unite. The second prayer is this. O thou, the light of all souls, the inspirer of our minds, like from the prayer of Pir, and the creator of our bodies, we humbly pray to be of service to thee and of all humanity as instruments, as divine love and light, Now, this phrase should be familiar to you if you're doing the purification practices. I inhale divine light and life. I radiate divine life and light. He uses these continually as themes. These are like these touchstones, these notes. Love, light, life, unity. Unity was very important to Mercian. The essence of spiritual liberty and the essence of studying the different scriptures that we would unite. So this idea that first we unite, and in that union, we become these divine instruments of love and light, not singularly, but together through our union. I don't know, I've probably told you this story, but it really impressed upon me this idea of unity. First time I was traveling in India, Karuna Mahima was traveling with us. And we were having trouble in when I think we flew from, we were flying from one of the hill stations or mountains, and Manali, that's where we were, Manali. We were flying from Manali back to Delhi. And there was a big problem. There was like all this confusion about luggage and this and that. The airline was hassling us, and she's, stop. Everyone take a breath. Unite. No harm can come when we're united. So that's part of this idea of unity and, you know, just calming ourselves and bringing ourselves grounded into the moment. So these are the prayers that are preparing. Now, this third prayer is the prayer that I've been saying as a daily practice for the last few years. Why, I don't know, but somehow it appealed to a part of my being, and I thought that was a message to take this up as a daily practice. And this prayer is the prayer that, if you know the healing service, is the one that is read before the 10 names that are on the list, as well as remembering all those, whether mentioned or not, are brought into this healing atmosphere. And this prayer goes like this. O thou who art all-powerful and all-pervading, the light of all souls, the life in all beings, the healer of our hearts, the forgiver of our shortcomings. And we pray, free us from all pain and suffering. Make us worthy instruments so that we may in turn free others from pain and suffering. And that we may reflect upon all of humanity, thy light, thy life, thy joy, and thy peace. Amen. So I'm just going to go back and kind of make a fourth prayer out of these lines. Unite us all in thy perfect being as instruments of divine love and light, that we may reflect on all of humanity, thy light, thy love, thy joy, and thy peace. Amen. Now you don't have to remember that. Students in our circle, I've repeated that in your study guide, and I'm suggesting you say that every day. And you can say all the prayers if you want, but at least that much of them. So just a little bit more, a few sentences by Anayat Khan before we get into the six aspects of prayer and how this relates to this last prayer, and in fact, all prayers, if you think about it. Mershad reminds us that the great teachers have made a science of words. Think about that, the alchemy that he talks about. So that the repetition of certain words, a definite result can be produced in one's character, in one's circumstances, and even in that person, and even that a person can help another by the use of certain words. So that's why we do these wazifas, and that's why we're doing them together to kind of infuse them with more oomph to help us all. And that is from Sufi Message, Volume 12, The Vision of God and Man, The Path of Meditation, Sufi Psychology. So now let's talk about the six aspects of prayer and how they relate to this third prayer, but I could maybe draw upon other prayers as well. So there is, the first aspect is adoration. Adoration. And here we have, as an adoration, a praising of God's omniscience. O thou who art all powerful and all pervading. And we also have an adoration, a second one. And this is praising God's omnipresence when the prayer we say, the light of all souls, the life of all beings, the healer of all hearts. Omnipresence. And then there's this contrition where we ask for God's mercy and grace. And here it is. Forgive us our shortcomings, and we pray, free us from all pain and suffering. When we were at Mass yesterday, the priest was putting a great emphasis on the prayer, Hail Mary, and we often sing it in Latin, but there is that prayer at the end, I'm going to blank out. Pray for us sinners is at the end, right? Where how does the rest of it go? Joe, help me. Now and at the hour of our death, amen. Now and at the hour, and he turned to Mary and said, let's now say that prayer together after he offered his sermon or homily. So then there's this supplication, a humble request of God. It's all in this prayer. Make us worthy to be thy instruments, so that in turn we, this is a request that we're making. Make us worthy to be thy instruments, so that we may in turn free others from pain and suffering. Asking that. And not that we have the total power, because we're asking for an intercession of God in the next line. And this is the grace and power of God's intercession, like Hail Mary, full of grace. Pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Amen. So this intercession is the grace and power of God's intercession. And we say, that we may reflect upon all of humanity. Well, that's a big one. Who are we to reflect that? But through God's intercession and our intention, we can do that. That we may reflect upon all of humanity thy light, thy life, thy joy, and thy peace. I mean, just those very words, to think of them, are healing. Thy light, thy life, thy joy, and thy peace. Now I'm going to read the lines again, but before we're going to do them as Wazifas, so we're going to distill them even more. And of course, we know that this happens with I'm more familiar with it through the Tibetan Buddhist tradition, where there maybe would be a whole teaching. Like, for example, Dalai Lama gave the teaching on Kala Chakras, the highest tantric yoga, it's the highest initiation you can give. It's days and days of preparation, first of all. It's days and days of delivering the teaching. And at the very end, he says, now I'd like you to commit to do this practice. And that practice has these few syllables, and it embodies the entire teaching that can take a week or more to give. So this is what the power of a wazifa is. In the same way, we say, from the Perfect Heart Wisdom Sutra, isn't that right, Joe? Gate, gate. Yeah. So that one is all distilled. It's a big teaching that's read at the beginning of every class or teaching given by the Dalai Lama. We say that. And then it's gate, gate, para, gate, para, samgate, bodhisvaha. It's all brought down and distilled into this. There's a kind of alchemy. Mercer talks about this alchemy, this infusion. So experiencing the prayer as Wazifa and the divine names of God, these are Anai Khan's words. And this is from Gathitha, excuse me, the Gita's Esotericism number 4 on Wazifa. He says, Wazifa means the repetition of word, of a word, excuse me, and this has been the secret of Oriental mystics. So all over Persia, all over Arabia, all over, all over Asia, everywhere. They practiced by them for thousands of years. In Wazifa, such words are used to have a certain meaning for physical, mental, moral, and spiritual purposes. So think about that. These Wazifas have the capability to touch these different places in us. It's up to us to perform them. That Aladdin's lamp, all the words I give don't mean anything. Your experience of them. They might be a little pointer, go that way, but or go that way, or go that way, or go that way. But you doing them unlocks the alchemy of them. Anayat Khan goes on to say, the proper use of Wazifa is to practice it for the release of oneself or another from trouble, or for an inspiration for oneself or to another, or for the development of devotion and spirituality. Well, it could be all three, especially in our circle. When we join together, I always imagine that we're all sitting together and we're doing these practices together. And I believe that that part of you is with me. And if you do the same, then a part of me and all others will be with you to support you in your practice. A few more sentences. By the repetition of certain mystic words, the centers begin to vibrate. Very often, after only a short time of doing these practices, a person feels quite different, especially when the mental thought is being held at the same time. Thus, concentration is developed at the same time. It helps the love nature or sympathetic nature to be deepened or centralized. And as it begins to flow out into the atmosphere, is created, and it is a spiritual atmosphere. And that's from Sufi Message, Volume 8, Sufi Teachings, The Tuning of the Heart. One more brief statement, and this is from Sanghathas 1. Not all of you have access to these teachings. These are more, the Sanghathas and Sanghitas are more esoteric, but I share them because I don't think anything should ever be hidden. The Wazifa is in its origin, the Wazifa, excuse me, has in its origin even in the lower creations. The cows take the food and choose it. And in that way are helped to assimilate that which otherwise could not be digested. I don't know, probably maybe some of you grew up on farms, but I didn't. So I saw these cows in India, boy, they would just eat anything, but they would just keep chewing it till they could assimilate it. So the knowledge of God, which is the sustenance of the soul, by repetition of a sacred word, the soul assimilates that knowledge and gives that same knowledge forth in return as the cow gives milk, is what Murshid says. And I laughed at this because I remember one time, I was had the good fortune of or sometimes it felt like misfortune of daily almost daily conversations with Murshid Adai. He gave me so much work. All my teachers did. They just sometimes asked things that seemed unimaginable to accomplish, and yet I couldn't dare say no. And so I'd say, I'm really busy with work, and my mom's been ill. And he said, well, you know what they say. This is Murshid Adai saying to me, Murshid Adai at Anayat Khan. Yeah, well, it's too bad, he said. They say the more you milk the cow, the more milk it gives. So he was really trying to teach me capacity, how to get bigger and do more, more, more. He always had a great sense of humor. And then, it was kind of like, okay. So now we're going to get to these lines of these prayers, the last prayer, one by one. The first line, O thou, the light of all souls. And this is, can you guess? Ya-Nur, right? The light of all souls, Ya-Nur. And Ya-Nur, we know, is divine light, divine illumination, the divine revealer. And so I remember someone wrote me from, I think it was Lahore, Pakistan recently, and they found me in Facebook. And they said they were following our classes. And they also said that they had just been given the name Noria. It must have been a woman. And did I have any words of advice for her? Could I reveal some of the meaning to it? And I said, well, you know, Murshida Vera, when she gave me that name, just simply said, it's the light that shines from with all things and reveals all things. It's kind of the essence. So that she was very satisfied with that. You know, some things can be put simply, but just thinking that everything is constantly revealing itself through shining its light. And with this, I'm going to just sort of edit this. We're going to intone each one of these wazifas 5 times. And but when we do it, just for a moment, tune in. You can close your eyes, not close your eyes. You can watch me, you cannot watch me, you can look out a window. But with this sound, this sacred sound of Yan Nur, imagine that every cell, what's even smaller than a cell, and the molecules, you know, atoms, that they're filled with self-illuminating awareness and light. We radiate that. So 5 times. Yanu. 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 The next line, the life of all beings. I bet you've guessed it. It's Yahai. This one's hard to do on the intone, but we'll use some a little bit of forcefulness on our breath as we say hi. So we'll say. But while we're doing it, of course, this is the divine aliveness, ever living, everlasting, just this deathlessness, the part that continues forever and ever. And as we do this, wow, just think of now everything. It's dancing with light, but also vigor and life. It's just really amping it up. And it says, Yahai, 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 Yahai. Now we've opened everything up. You know, my mom used to do that in the winter. I'd go, Mom, close the windows. It's cl cold. But everything was open. And she said it cleans the air. And this way, we're opened with this light and this life. And we go to Yashafi. Yashafi. And the line of the prayer, the divine healer, restorer of our health. And well, no, it doesn't go like that. It's the healer of our hearts is the line of the prayer. And Yashafi is what I think is the corresponding wazifa. And it's the divine healer, the one that restores our health. And may it be so not only for us as individuals, but for our world, our environment, and everything that exists. But also, Yashafi is this, it's the extinguisher of our problems. You don't often hear that said, but Yashafi is the extinguisher of our problems. And so now with this, we let every cell that's been opened and illuminated feel the blessing of Shafi so that things may be healed and that our problems may be extinguished, our worries, our concerns, that we just constantly turn towards God and that we feel renewed in understanding of what it means to be healed. What does it mean to be healed? So Yashafi, five times. Yashafi. 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 Next line is all sufficient. There we have it. Yashafi in the previous line, Yakafi in the next line. And of course, it's often described as the divine one that's all sufficient. But it's also the one that saves us. And it's also our protector and our shield. So it's so beautiful for me, at least, to think of Shafi as the one that can extinguish our problems and renew us. And coffee can be our protector and our shield. And so with this, we feel the five repetitions of Ya Kafi, we feel this grace and blessing and protection and a shield because we're opening ourselves. Think of that. We need that divine shield and guidance. And so we get that from Ya Kafi. Ya Kafi. Ya Kafi. Ya Kafi. Ya Kafi. Ya Kafi. And the next piece is all powerful God. There's so many words, and maybe you would have your own, but I selected one and I'll explain why. It's Kowi, but it's spelled Quawiyy. I've seen it spelled different ways, but if you've ever done the Wazifa, you'll know it. So the all-powerful God, meaning the divine God, the divine being that's supremely strong and has inexhaustible strength. This is the essence of Kowi. And it's important to realize this is not an outward, we're not arm wrestling with God. It's not an outward strength, but it's a rather a strength that comes from emptying oneself. You can see how important this is in this healing prayer and this healing service, and even perhaps in our daily lives, to take a moment to sort of empty ourselves. It's like becoming air. No one can hit it or touch it. Okay. It's to become a reed like Rumi talks about, a reed through which divine strength can flow. So this is all powerful God. Ya ko, emphasis on ko we. And as we do this, feel every cell emptying through which flows the divine strength. Just open that reed more to become a better conduit. And we say, Ya ko we. Yakowi, 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 Yakowi. And the next line is the forgiver of our shortcomings. And here I there are many words. There's that whole collection of forgiveness, sacred names, but here I've selected for me, and you can maybe change that if you wish, but it's Afu, Afu. And I love Murshid Wali Ali's description of with that breath, you're kind of the sands of the desert are smoothing out, so there's no impressions. It's like a fresh start. The forgiver of our shortcomings. And of course, it means the divine partner, the most forgiving, the effacing, and the eliminator of sins. How beautiful is that? He also would say he'd have to do the practice and turn. He says, as if you're turning away from all of that that holds you back, this idea of our insufficiency, our sins that burden us. So when we say this, Ya'afu, the emphasis on the last part, may we experience God's pardon and grace and forgiveness for any of our shortcomings. Good boy, stay. Okay, so again, forgiver of our shortcomings, Ya'afu, feeling this sweep through us. Afu, sweeping through us. Ya'afu. Ya'afu. Yafu, Yafu, Yafu. Slide is. Free us from all pain and suffering. Make us worthy to be thy instruments so that we may in turn free others from pain and suffering. And here I selected Yafata, that's the Wazifa that spoke to me. And it's because Yafata is the granter of success. It's the opener of the way. We hear that very frequently, opener of the way. But you know, we do that in our circles when someone's departing for a trip. You know, we're granter of success. May it be successful. And maybe, and then it also further means a continuing action that, the result of the prayer will be ever accomplished, and it keeps on accomplishing. It's the door that opens that keeps opening other doors. Okay. So as we say this, we think that this sacred name is touching every cell, all the fibers of our being, all of our everything that's ours, that's been, well, it's really God's, but it's been given to us for this time. And may it bestow a continual action of accomplishment, like a water wheel. Emphasis is on the last part, ta, so we'll elong that a bit. Deep breath. Yafata, 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 Yafata. It's interesting to me when looking deeply into this prayer that it goes deeper even yet, because the prayer returns again, almost like that water wheel, to the first quality. So now the prayer returns to what is called intercessory prayer. And we return to those qualities that we heard in the petitions and the praising. So first we request the divine intercession that we may reflect thy light. This is all in the last line of the prayer, and that's Yanur. And the second intercession is that we may reflect thy life. So this is all returning again from the beginning of that prayer. If you think, I don't know if anyone's done this or thought about this prayer, but to me, this cyclical quality is, it's incredible, the power of it. So again, the second request of the divine intercession is, may we reflect thy life. And then this third intercession, and I'm going to do this Wazifa with you because we've done the previous ones, but the third intercession is that we may reflect thy joy. Well, here I selected this Wazifa, Gani, Gani. This is often given to people when they're wishing to have more prosperity or movement in a career or whatever. We often have it interpreted as the one who gives riches, but what a joy, what a richness it is to give people joy. That's amazing to me. So I selected Gani because it also embodies a profound spiritual alchemy. So what better use of it than is to use it or to consider it as part of this prayer? Because isn't that what the healing service does? It's a kind of alchemy, offering healing, whatever form it is needed. Now, I like what Murshid Saul Baradowski reminds us of, that sometimes the healing isn't the removal of the disease or sickness, but there's another kind of healing, just like the saints. Through their illness, they had time for reflection, and that offered a healing of the soul, not necessarily a healing of the body. So think of that also, how important that is. So Al-Ghani, or we'll say it as Ya-Ghani, gives a profound sense of spiritual alchemy, and an alchemy that invokes the quality of uncovering, this is the literal meaning, uncovering the joy hidden within all conditions and every aspect of existence. So no matter what's happening, Gani can wipe it clean, take the dust off of it, shake out the linen, open the doors and windows, and it can reveal the joy hidden in everything, not just what we think are the good things, in everything, in every opportunity, in every arising, the quality of uncovering the joy hidden within the conditions of every aspect of existence. Wow, amazing, big promise. And I included this quote by Jalaluddin Rumi because I really love it. And it kind of sums it up too. Sorrow prepares you for joy. Think about that. Sorrow prepares you for joy. It violently sweeps away everything from your heart so that a new joy can find space to enter. Shall I say it again? Sorrow prepares you for joy. It violently sweeps everything out of your heart, or our hearts, we could say, your house actually is what he says, not heart, your house. One more time. Sorrow prepares you for joy. It violently sweeps everything out of your house so that a new joy can find space to enter. So when things are going in a challenging way, think of that you're very in a brisk way sweeping out the house to let a new joy enter. So now we're going to say Yagani. And as we do it, let this revelation of joy bubble up so that every aspect of our existence, every time we need to remember, we can recall Yagani as the quality of uncovering hidden joy within every condition. And we're going to let that happen for us right now. Yagani, 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 Yagani. Yagani, Yagani. And the fourth intercession, the fourth quality that we wish to share with all of humanity is Salam. Ya Salam. It's the source of peace. It's flawless. It's the source of wholeness and well-being. So every time we wish someone salam, this is what we're wishing for. That source of all peace, a kind of flawlessness, and that source of wholeness and well-being. So may the divine peace envelop we ourselves and all those that we can remember in these moments and spread out in ever-extending circles, widening and widening. May this vibration go and touch all beings and all those who are gathered here praying together. And again, may it touch all beings in all places at all times. And we pray. Ya salam, ya salam, ya salam, ya salam, ya salam. And we close it. We seal this prayer with Amen. Other interpretations of Amen are Om, AUM, Aman, Amin. And it seals these moments together with God's blessings so that our intentions are fused and infused with God's blessings. And so, may these moments and these experiences ever flow as blessings in our lives. And we close by repeating Amen 5 times. Amen. 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 Thank you, everyone, for being here and staying with it. Really, I'm very grateful. I think we did it in record time. And again, I just want to offer a dedication that all strife will cease. People will see each other as another self, that we recognize that we're of the family of humanity. We also see our world, place at which we put our feet, the air in which we breathe, as all part of God's glory. May we take precious moments to live it. Amen.
Thank you for a beautiful teaching.
Mershit, Mershit, it's all Mershit.
It's, yeah, some really